It's about the economy. Creating jobs is obviously one of the top issues on people's minds right now. And what I want to know is, what is the single most important step that Napa County can take right now to improve the local economy?
The single most important step. Well, there's a couple of them that I'm working on, and one of the things that I think that is the best way to grow an economy and grow jobs is to support the jobs that are here now, support the businesses that are here, and come up with ways for them to be more successful and to build and to hire more people. A couple of ways that we are working with them to do that is with the Workforce Investment Board. And the Workforce Investment Board is a job training, and it's trying to do things to make it so that more people can get to work. This is a good time for job training, and one of the things that the Workforce Investment Board has done is partnered with the library to do job training down at the library. Other things that we're doing is working in clusters to try to figure out what things people the businesses need, what types of skills the businesses need, and then train for that. And one final thing that the Workforce Investment Board does is it has a training wage, and that allows for people to hire somebody with and not have to pay the full amount, that we help them with some of that for the first 3 or 6 months.
Thank you. I think that the first thing that the board should do is consistently consider the economic impacts of this decision. And the current board has not done that in every case. Secondly, they should take every opportunity to create jobs and to boost the economy when those opportunities are presented. And since we're talking about the wine redefinition ordinance, I'll talk about that as well. I agree with Michael Haley. The board had a golden opportunity to create jobs that would not in any way impact the ag preserve. No one presented any evidence that it would hurt the ag preserve. Yet the board didn't do that. In fact, the board voted to protect the existing status quo. That's not creating jobs. They had an opportunity, and they didn't take it. Secondly, I think that the creating jobs is much different than training people for jobs. You can train people for lots of great new jobs, but if there aren't any jobs for them to work, you have a great trained, unemployed workforce. So we need to do more than just provide training. We need to bring in a more diversified economy. That's another goal that I have, would be to diversify our economy away from just wine growing and wine selling, both the ag economy and our general economy, to broaden it as much as possible.
Great. Well, while we're on the issue of the economy, I wanted to bring up a report issued by Napa County about a month ago predicting a $17 million budget gap over the next 5 years if supervisors don't do anything at all to rein in spending. Meanwhile, and one of the candidates mentioned this tonight, county pension plans have come under fire as an example of wasteful spending. Do you think pension reform is critical for the long-term health of this county? Dan Moniz.
The unfunded liability is approaching $60 million for Napa County, and it's growing at a cumulative rate that's pretty scary. In 2003, for instance, the benefit pension plan for the employees of Napa County cost $1,143,000. In 2008-09, that went from $1.1 million to $14.2 million. In less than 6 years. That's a serious problem. That cumulative growth is continuing. We've got to stop the bleeding now going forward. The two-tier system is important. Yes, we need state reform, but we can also choose different plans within the current PERS system for new employees as well. Those have to be negotiated with the unions, but that should be done now. I understand the county's in negotiations. I hope that that's top on the agenda. The health care is another issue that's huge. The health care costs in 2002-03 for retirees was $650,000, and in 2008-09 it was $5.8 million. Currently in the county of Napa, a member of the Board of Supervisors serving two terms gets fully paid medical for the rest of their life, 8 years in office. We got to start with the Board of Supervisors. They're paying benefits before we start asking line employees to give, but everybody's going to have to give.
Brad WagonConnect, what are your thoughts on pension reform?
Thank you. We are, as Supervisor Dillon says, we are on record as as proposing statewide reform, and with a two-tier benefit. And as Mr. Moniz says, we are in negotiations with our employees at this point, and that would be one of our high priorities. We talk about the unfunded mandate liability, the other post-employment benefits. NAPA has, there is a large number, but NAPA is dealing with it, and we're working on paying that off over years. And we're one of the few counties that I know of that are in as aggressive a stance of paying that off as we are. We're working on it. These are big issues. They're not done by me snapping my fingers. They're done by work, by negotiation with people, and having the bigger vision.
Well, let's switch to land use for a second. Napa Redevelopment Partners is proposing a 2,580 townhome mixed-use project at the former Napa Pipe site in South Napa County. In 90 seconds or less, would you please offer your thoughts on the Napa Pipe proposal? Dan Moniz?
Let me be very clear. I am not in favor of 2,500 homes at Napa Pipe. I'll say it one more time. I'm not in favor of 2,500 homes at Napa Pipe. But the context is important. What you heard from several of the candidates is absolutely accurate. The county of Napa is being sued. We currently are not in compliance with state law. We must find a place to zone 569 residential units by 2014. If we do not, we risk losing that lawsuit and costing you, the taxpayers, millions of dollars in settlement costs and the other ramifications, which Michael Haley mentioned, what happened in Pleasanton. The judge in Pleasanton invalidated Pleasanton's growth control measures. So if you like Measure J and Measure P, just keep playing with these housing numbers and we could lose them. And then it's Katie bar the door. Secondly, the judge in Pleasanton also enjoined the city of Pleasanton from issuing any commercial building permits until they come in compliance with state law. That means no tenant improvements, no commercial expansion, no remodels until they come in. That economic damage of that is huge. We don't want to do that. There's too much at risk to be playing with that. Again, as was said earlier, Napa Pipe is not in the ag preserve. It's not in the ag watershed. It's not on hillsides. It's not on ridgetops. It's about the only piece of land large enough to accommodate 569 homes. County staff recommended 800 homes be put in the general plan, which would have satisfied the state of California. This current Board of Supervisors rejected that number, and that's what's put us at risk right now.
Brad Wagenknecht, Napa Pipe.
There are two, as I tell people, there are two big issues, two huge issues with this. One of them is water, and I already mentioned that. That's 200 million gallons of water being taken from the aquifer. The second one is traffic. As you look at Napa Pipe, going right by it on one side is Highway 29 with 45,000 car trips a day. Going right by it on the other side is Soskal and 221 with 25,000 car trips a day. That puts about 70,000 car trips right around the grape crusher. Now with Napa Pipe, close to 20,000 more car trips a day are going to be added to that. we think we have a problem now. We're going to have a gross problem at that point. We worked with the city of Napa to zone for 300 units at Napa Pipe. We don't need to find new places for 569. We've got natural growth that occurs, and so we needed about 300. We worked with the city of Napa to put that in. We have an approved housing element, and so we're going to be moving along with that. I have talked about that we have $13 million to try to build affordable housing. One of the obstacles to that is the lawsuit. I would love to be able to get past the lawsuit and be able to actually put in housing.
I heard a couple of you tonight say 2,580 townhomes is too many, but that there might be an acceptable number somewhere less than 2580. We don't need to do 90 seconds. All I need is a number. Dan Moniz?
It's impossible for me to give you a number. The project isn't even fully designed or submitted yet. The environmental review is still going on. So I don't know what that number is. I mean, minimally, we need to have a place for 569 homes. And, yes, I do have the documentation. It's out of the county general plan. So that's the minimum, I guess.
Brad WagonConnect, would you be willing to see anything out there? And if so, name a number.
Well, I tell people that it is a it costs $50 million. That's what I hear, costs $50 million to buy it. So it's not going to be a park. I'm not going to spend $50 million on 150 acres for park. I'm not going to spend no one's going to spend $50 million for a vineyard. So it is going to be developed in some way. My answer to that is in working with the city of Napa would have to pick out a number that is appropriate for that spot.
Okay, this question comes from the audience. I also received it via email yesterday. County roads are deteriorating, and residents are frustrated. What would you do to provide more money for road work? I think we were at Dan Moniz.
Well, I identified that in my opening comments as a major issue. The county of Napa has not invested in its infrastructure. It has not put enough money into the road department to maintain the roads over a long period of time, and so the decay has gotten so bad that much of the repair is much larger than it would have been had they maintained it along the way. So we need to make a decision. The Board of Supervisors needs to prioritize its spending and make this public safety, and it is a public safety issue, a priority, and they need to take money and put it more money into the road department. One of the first areas I would start moving money from is I have a real problem with the way the county throws money at consultants to do studies instead of actually doing the work, having the work being done locally. So that's one area. But also the county needs to be bringing in more revenue, and that gets us back to the economic argument that we talked about in terms of trying to boost the economy, providing jobs, taking every opportunity to help business, not put roadblocks up in front of business. That builds the tax base, then that allows us to put more money into the infrastructure.
Brad WagonConnect, same question.
I agree that I would love to see more money come into roads because I think, first off, I think a lot of people, because I'm out talking to folks all the time, they look at the roads in front of them and it's the streets in front of them, and they think it's the city of Napa's streets that are really beat up. And I know the city of Napa has got some programs to work on that. They're trying to get 11 miles done a year, and I know Browns Valley is on that list to be done. One of the things I would like to do is something we did with the Parks and Open Space. We increased the TOT a percent and a half, so we use some of that for Parks and Open Space. We use some of that for visitor generation. We use some of that for arts. What I would like to do is put a cap on TOT budgeting and try to build a fund for road maintenance fund.
This question comes from the audience. Water availability is a major concern in Napa County. What steps should the county take to ensure a safe and adequate water supply? Brad WagonConnect, start with you.
Well, we're doing a couple things in a couple of neighborhoods. As I said earlier, we're in the Millikan-Sarko-Tuloke area, in the Carneros area. We're working at bringing tertiary treated recycled water to those areas. And there's a district in the Carneros area, and we're working on a district for the Millikan-Sarko-Tuloke area. That would help in the county. So I think that would be a good thing. One of the other things that we're doing right now is we're in our new general plan. It talks about monitoring some wells because we don't know what's going on in all the aquifers in the county. And so we're at this point we're trying to come up with water monitoring so we can get a good sense of what is going on at the different parts in the county.
Dan Moniz.
Well, the County of Napa Board of Supervisors, I think, is uniquely positioned to work to develop a countywide water master plan with the cities. Each of the cities currently does its own thing. As Diane said, some cities use state water project water American Canyon, 100% of their water comes from the Delta. Napa uses about 70% of its water from the Delta at certain times of the year. Others have their own local supplies. All of those supplies can be fragile during droughts, and the county needs to get together with all of those cities and have a countywide master plan that talks about sharing those waters in bad times. If the State Water Project gets shut down, and it's been on the verge of being shut down a couple of times over environmental issues, let alone their infrastructure issues. The city of American Canyon is out of luck. They have no water. They have no backup except to hopefully buy some from Vallejo. So the county should do that. The plan should have conservation measures, rainwater retention. I was nodding my head at Jeff's comments about that. There's a lot of science around rainwater retention now that's actually very old science from the Romans, but we should be doing a better job of rainwater retention in ponds and in cisterns with our development. And better use of reclaimed water. Carneros has been promised reclaimed water since 1978. They still haven't got it. So I don't know what's going to change with the current board if they haven't got it yet. Definitely they need to get reclaimed water. I spent a great deal of time out with the Napa sanitation staff this week talking about those options and how they could fill ponds and do some things with that tertiary water. And it would really make a big difference in the use of groundwater if they could use reclaimed water for irrigation. So I would strongly support that.
Okay, let's shift gears here for a second and talk about marijuana. The city of Napa has approved a medical marijuana clinic, and in November, voters statewide might end up weighing in on the legalization of the recreational use of marijuana. Dan Moniz?
Well, coming from a long law enforcement background, you might suspect my answer to that question. In general, I'm not in favor of adding more intoxicants to the opportunities that people have to become intoxicated. But it isn't a county issue. It's really a state and a federal issue. We still have the problem with the federal law making it illegal, regardless of our medical marijuana laws in California. It's very complicated, very convoluted law, and it's just not something that I agree with Michael that I want to waste a lot of energy dealing with.
Brad Wagenknecht.
First off, I'm glad that the city has done some stuff to modify their medical marijuana dispensary. The one that was previously calling themselves a medical marijuana dispensary was dispensing quite a bit of marijuana for not medical purposes. I'm thinking, and I'm glad that they've taken that on. It's logical to have that in the city, and it's logical that it's treated with respect. Talking to young people, there is a lot of excitement with this issue coming up. I've heard it around, and it'll be interesting to see if that actually brings some voters to the polls. One of the things that we do in the county that I think really helps us is we say for us to weigh in on any of these types of state and national issues that we have to have unanimity among the board, and most often these controversial ideas don't have unanimity, and so we don't find ourselves straying off into medical marijuana or other things that are controversial that just get us off missing the target, getting our eye off the ball. We try to keep our eye on the local issues. Me personally, I will vote probably no on that.
Okay, I have a question for the two District 1 candidates, and we'll get to District 3 next. At some point, the city of Napa will plan for development at the Gisletta property on Foster Road. What do you think is the appropriate use of the Gisletta property? Start with Dan Moniz.
Well, it's currently agricultural land. It's in ag use. It's currently hillside. It's also the gateway to the Napa Valley in many ways. So I'd like to see it in open space, remain in open space. I've consistently said I'm opposed to development on hillsides and in ag land, and this is no different. The fact that it happens to be in the city's rural urban limit line because of a decision made back a long time ago doesn't change the impacts of developing ag land on hillsides. So I'm opposed to it. I'd like to see it stay in ag.
Brad Wagenknecht, what do you think should happen with the Gisletta property?
If it were a county parcel that was going to be decided by the county, I would be more conservative with it. But it is in the city. It will be in the city. Its future is in the city. what I've talked to the neighbors in that area about is talking to the city council and saying, you know, we want to see a specific plan before it becomes annexed into the city, and we want to sit down with that. You know, we want to have people on the steering committee of that specific plan. A couple of things that I've done to be helpful, and that is I'm trying to work with the Horsemen's Association to try to get their certificates of compliance so that they can stay in existence. That takes 30 some acres off the docket. But I think, you know, the smart thing for the long term, because it is, its future is going to be in the city, is for the neighbors in that area to sit down with the city council and to come up with a specific plan for that area.
Great. Well, this is going to be our last question for supervisors tonight. Let's stay up valley and talk about the Angwin Eco Village. Pacific Union College is proposing a 380-home eco village in Angwin. Would you quickly offer your thoughts on the proposal? Dan Munoz, what do you think of the eco village in Angwin?
Well, the college is currently approved for 191 units that they could develop right now if they wanted to. There actually is not a current proposal that I'm aware of that's being reviewed. I think there's a new developer on board, and I think they're revising their original proposal. So I don't know what that's going to look like, so I can't opine. Well, I haven't seen what it looks like. But I think Jeff's correct, and it is a very unique and very sensitive area. Access and egress to that area is very limited, and that would put a lot of people up there. On the contrary, however, you know, it's not just South County's responsibility to provide housing. A lot of the jobs are provided up valley. And so if we want to talk about commuting and traffic congestion, then we need to start locating houses near where jobs are as well. So some housing needs to occur up valley. We can't just say, Napa and American Canyon, you take it all. We're going to be pristine up here. We don't want houses because that just congests the highways and the roadways. So I'd like to see what the project looks like that's going to be proposed. I'd like to see all the environmental impact reports, what the problems are, what the mitigations are proposed, before I could decide on that.
Brad Wagon Connect.
Well, the eco village that we've kind of seen around has been about 380 units in that area, and I've told people that, you know, in 10 years on the city of Napa City Council, the largest project that I ever approved in Napa, the big city here, was a little under 200 units at the Napa Yacht Club. So there's no way 380 units could be put up there, and everybody has talked about the fact that would just turn that place upside down. What I've said is that 191 is the max I could ever see coming in there. And that would have to be with environmental work done on it.